Welcome, everybody, to That's a Freebie, the podcast that currently features my washing machine. This week, I'm going to be talking about car seats, lollipop people, or crossing guards, as some people will know them, some myths about my friend Coffee, and some surprising movie facts that might surprise some of you, might not, a very profitable pick of the week, kind of, and so much more. But as usual, I'm going to open with an Ask a Freebie question. This week's question is, have you ever dined and dashed? I've thought about this, and I cannot remember a time when I've dined and dashed. So I think the answer to that question is a probably disappointing no, because I'm assuming that whoever asked that question probably wanted me to say yes and tell the story about it. But no, sadly, it's never happened. Who knows in the future, though? Maybe I'll do it just for the show. No, I won't dine and dash. That's not fair on the people that serve you your food. So don't dine and dash. If you'd like to open up the show with a question, then you can go to thatsafreebie.com. On there, you can hit the button that says ask a question, or you can use Ask a Freebie on social media. I do check it fairly regular, so I should see that. You can also drop me an email at hello@thatsafreebie.com. Here's the theme tune.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Took the kids to school earlier, and when I came back, the kitchen was flooded. And I don't mean there was a little bit of water on the floor. I mean, it was flooded. It was a good 2 inches deep, easily. The whole floor in the kitchen, like all of it. There was none of it that wasn't. It had gone under the cupboards. It was under the appliances, everything. So the first thing I obviously thought was, oh no, the radiator that's been giving me loads of trouble upstairs. I thought maybe that had like full on burst and it's just gone everywhere. Or maybe it's never stopped leaking and it's been leaking into the ceiling and it's gone the opposite way this time because it's on the opposite side of where it usually drops. So I ran upstairs and I had a look at the radiator. Everything seemed fine. And so then my next thought is, it's got to be the freezer then, right? This is enough water for a defrosted freezer. So runs downstairs. Nope. Freezer seems okay. It's still fully frozen. I'm like, what could it be? Where's it coming from? And that's when I realized I trapped a sock in the door when I put the washing machine on before I went. So it was pouring out the bottom of the washing machine. So I quickly paused the washing machine, solved it. It took a lot of towels. In fact, there's still a bunch of towels on the floor just in case I've damaged the seal or anything like that. So the washing machine is currently on. So if you can hear it, let me know. I know it sounds like a weird thing to ask, but like it is going crazy now. I'm going to go quiet, right? I'm going to stop talking. Of course, the second I stopped talking, the washing machine stopped making noise. Right. Anyway, if you hear it at all during the show, let me know. The reason I'm asking that is I'm just curious as to if the microphone will pick stuff like that up so that in the future I know whether I can have the washing machine on or not. I definitely can't have the dryer on because it is literally like right there at the side of me. I can reach out and touch it. So I cannot have the dryer on because it's super loud as it is. The girl asked me the dreaded question this week. The thing that I've not been looking forward to her asking, but I'm kind of okay with it at the same time. But I'm not okay with it, but I am okay with it. Yeah, it's a car seat. So she's 10 years old now. She's pretty tall. Actually, you know what? Whenever we see pictures of her in class, she is actually one of the taller students in class. But there's a couple in there that are just so much taller than her that are actually her friends. So it makes her look small when we see it normally. But actually, she's quite tall compared to some of the people in her class. And so she asked, can she no longer have a car seat? And I've been saying for a long, long time, nope, you can't have a car seat until you can't go without a car seat until you're 12 years old, because that's the legal limit. And it turns out that's not true 100%. So my wife looked it up, and then obviously I looked it up because I didn't believe her and I wanted to prove her wrong. And she was right. As I've mentioned before, wives often are. So it turns out the actual legal limit is 12 years old or 135 centimeters, whichever comes first. Not both of them, whichever comes first. And again, if any of you know other than that and you can prove it, send me a message and let me know, because I'd love for her to still be in the car seat, really. She is 145 centimeters, so she's 10 centimeters above the legal limit for having a car seat, which means I've not really got an argument. Now, as much as I would prefer her to still be in it because it just feels safer to me, she clearly is okay when she's in the back of the car. She's sat at a good height. When she was in the car seat, her shoulders were touching the headrest of the car seat. So it clearly wasn't comfortable for her. So the best thing to do is actually to get rid of the car seat. But I don't know. It's just something about it doesn't feel right, not having your child in a car seat. So speaking of children, we at school, I say we at school as if I go to the school, the school have recently got a new lollipop man or lollipop person or crossing guard, whatever you want to call them. I don't know what the right thing to call people in that profession these days are. I know as a kid it was always the lollipop lady, but I have noticed that the majority of them these days, certainly in the area I live in, tend to be men. So obviously we can't call them lollipop ladies. Lollipop person just sounds a bit strange. Excuse me. Crossing guard sounds very American or non-British, I suppose. So I don't know what to call them. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. You know who I mean, right? The people that stand in the high-vis vest with the giant lollipop that says, "Stop children crossing." Right, we've got a new one. Then we have two for our school because there's two main roads that surround the school. So for quite a while now, we haven't had one on one of the roads, basically. And we have a new one now. And I really hate to say it. I really, really do hate to say it. Like, I've tried to not think this. I've really like had to reconcile this in my head that it's true, but he's terrible. Like, he's really, really, really bad. He's probably dangerous, actually, to the point where somebody needs to say something. Now, I know things have been said to him because all of the parents are talking about it. And some of the parents are saying some pretty mean things, which is why I've been trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's new to the job, all that kind of stuff. But he's not doing a good job. He's been doing it now for just over a month, maybe even 2 months. I'm not 100% sure, but he basically, so what he does is it's a tricky crossing. I'll give it that. So that's why I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But it's quite a wide road, and in the middle of the road is a traffic island. So what the old crossing guard used to do is they used to walk out to the middle of the road like you do and stand on the island with the lollipop like reached out and his arm reached out. And it was fine. Never a single issue. He would, before he walked out into the road, he would hold the lollipop above his head and outwards into the road so that traffic would slow down and stop. He would make all the children stand behind him and he'd hold his hand up and he'd say, "Wait there." He'd walk to the middle of the road. He'd wait till the traffic stopped. He'd look at both sides of the traffic, like make eye contact with each driver to make sure that they're stopped. And then he would wave the children across, right? Now, that is probably a bit more than you need to do, really. So we're obviously spoiled by the previous one being really, really amazing at his job. But what this one actually does is he just steps out into the road and then he goes and stands on one side of the road. So he walks across the road past the central island and then he stands on the opposite side of the road and he holds the lollipop out there. And then what happens is the people that are traveling on the left-hand side, it doesn't matter which side you're on the left-hand side, but the people that are traveling on the side of the road that he's not stood on don't realize he's there. So they start to go through and then they realize at the last minute and slam the brakes on what they've done. And then they feel like, oh no, I've done the wrong thing. Now granted, there is a massive guy dressed in yellow stood on the opposite side of the road with the lollipop out. So they should see him, don't get me wrong. But his positioning is just making it quite hard for people to see. But what he also does is he just lets the kids follow him as he's walking out. So sometimes these cars are slamming on and there's kids walking in front of him. and he just can't seem to get it, what he's doing wrong. And then he sort of hesitates a lot as well. He'll go to walk back, and then the cars will start setting off because he's almost on the path. But then he turns around and just puts his lollipop out again because he's seen somebody walking down the pavement towards him. So he thinks, oh, I'll just keep him stopped so that this person can cross. And it's causing all kinds of problems. He's nearly been hit so many times. And children have nearly been hit as well because he's just, I don't know, it's really hard to describe. I'd film him and show you, but I don't think that's fair, to be honest. But yeah, he basically hesitates so much with everything that he's doing. It looks like he's going to cause an accident. And then to top it all this morning, he just walks straight out in front of a car and the car hit him. No, I'm not laughing because he got hit by the car, because he was fine. It was a very slight tap. He was really, really lucky, but he just literally just didn't hold the lollipop up in any way, shape or form. He was facing away. He was talking to a family behind him and he just stepped out into the road. And luckily, most of the parents have sort of got the idea of what he's like in a minute. So this car was already going a little bit slow anyway because they were expecting him to. And then he stepped out and he sort of stopped and put his hands on the bonnet of the car. And he looked at the guy, the guy in the car wound his window down and he said, "What are you doing, you idiot? Learn to do your job." And I was like, oh, that's when I was like, yeah, I could realize now that a lot of people are getting annoyed at this guy. And he went, "Sorry." I just laughed it off. And then when it stood on the opposite side of the road, so obviously all the cars kept going. Fortunately, I was like 4 or 5 cars behind. So I stopped so that the people could cross. But yeah, terrible, terrible crossing guard. And I really don't know what to do about it, because obviously we need to tell somebody, but who do you tell? The school haven't employed him. The council have employed him. So like, where do you go? It is actually parents' evening tonight, so I'm going to have a chat with the head teacher at school and just see if she has an idea or an avenue to go down, because I think purely for his safety, he just needs to probably be, I don't know, have a bit more training or taught how to do the job a little bit better. Yeah, bit of a tough situation, really. Time for a little bit of what Goo talking about. I just feel like I should clarify as well what I'm doing with this section, because it has been a little bit of a, I don't quite know what to do with it. Essentially, I like to split the podcast up into sections because it's easier for me to record. It's easier for me to know where I'm up to. And it lets you know what to expect. You know, if you don't want to know how my week's gone, you can always skip forward to the what you're talking about. If all you care about is AI questions, you can skip to the AI question. You know, that's the whole point of splitting it up. What I've been doing is essentially just throwing what I can at the what you're talking about section, because I just wanted to see what kind of content I like producing. And there's a few. So what I didn't want to do is start doing loads and loads of different sections every week and the podcast getting longer and longer and longer, because some of the episodes have been an hour long at the moment. And I'm cool with that. I think that's my upper limit. I don't want to really go more than an hour. Although I think last week's episode was 1 hour and 1 minute. But if you take out the theme tune, you know, it's just under an hour then. That's about 30 seconds. So what I'm going to do with the what Goo talking about, that's going to be like my rotating section. So I'm going to have different things in this section that are not related to my own week. So my non-personal stories are going to go here, essentially. So things I found on the internet, the Alex section, all that kind of stuff is going to go here. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to rotate, because I did find, like last week when I was recording the Alex section, I was a little bit less inspired than I've been in previous weeks, because I've been doing it every single week. And I think it would have the chance of going a little bit stale if I didn't rotate it a bit. So I'm going to mix it up a bit. So some weeks I'll have Alex in the what you talking about section. Some weeks I'll have like the listicle things that I've been enjoying doing, or some of the funny stuff I've seen on the internet. Some weeks it might even just be like news stories that I find interesting. I am thinking of a new section. A new part of what's Goo talking about, where I look at some Wikipedia articles and we'll learn a little bit together. That is going to be coming up in episode number 40. I'm going to only do that every fifth episode. The others will rotate in and out as I see fit. But that one, I think I'm going to do every fifth episode because it gives me time to do some research on the topic. So it's not just me reading a Wikipedia article, because anyone could do that. But then at the same time, they're well written. So sometimes it is just going to be a case of I'm reading it and adding my own thoughts on it. We'll see how that goes. We'll see in episode 40. I've got a nice article lined up, ready to go. Just doing a little bit of research, seeing if there's anything I can add to it. So this week in What Goo Talking About, we're going to have a look at, first of all, we're going to look at some myths about coffee, because I found these quite interesting. Myth number one, coffee addiction is a real problem. I'm really happy that that's a myth. The word addict is loaded, and for most people, a coffee habit is not a big deal. When we think of addiction, we immediately think of alcohol, nicotine, or drugs. When it comes to caffeine or coffee, the term addiction may be too strong, says Frank Hugh, MD, PhD, a professor of nutrition and epidemiology at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. That is a really long title. The physical health and social consequences of caffeine use are not as serious. Illegal stimulants send levels of dopamine, the body's feel-good hormone, soaring, making you crave more and get the same reward response. But caffeine raises dopamine levels only slightly. That's why caffeine withdrawal symptoms are more manageable. Dr. Hugh says they include fatigue and headache. Still, if you don't like the way caffeine makes you feel, cut back. Just do it slowly so as to avoid withdrawal symptoms. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I still think I do think you can be addicted to coffee. But yeah, I realize what he's probably saying there is that the actual term is probably not the right term, because you're not going to be going out chasing the coffee dragon, are you? I don't know. Maybe you will. Myth number two, coffee is dehydrating. Caffeine is a diuretic, so coffee makes you pee more. But drinking even as much as 4 cups a day won't dehydrate you, research shows. That's because the water in the coffee balances out the slight diuretic effect of the caffeine, says Whitney Stewart, a registered dietitian nutritionist and a certified diabetes educator. Look at the colour of your urine for a clue as to whether you're getting enough fluid. It should have a straw yellow colour, a tinge of yellow, Stuart explains. If it's darker than that, you should drink more water. That's good advice all round, right? Myth number three, and I've got to admit, I thought this was true. Coffee sobers you up. Drinking coffee does not get alcohol out of your system any faster. Even if you feel more awake or alert, the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention reports this means that if you're drunk, having coffee does not make it okay to drive. I mean, I knew that, but I did feel like it makes you feel a bit more awake, I suppose. I guess it does heighten your senses, but you're still technically drunk. Researchers found that caffeine does not reverse alcohol's impairment or psychomotor tasks. Skills like driving that require thought, movement, and coordination. In fact, caffeine may make you feel more capable because you're less drowsy, but you'll still be a worse driver, says Marilyn Cornelis, PhD, an associate professor of preventive medicine at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago. Coffee may even encourage people to drink more alcohol because it makes them feel less sleepy. Yep, that actually does make a lot of sense. Myth number four. Darker roasts have more caffeine. A darker roast simply means the beans have been roasted longer, not that there's a different amount of caffeine in them, says Cornelis. Measured scoop against scoop, darker roasts can actually contain less caffeine than lighter roasts because coffee beans puff up when roasted longer. Meaning you'll need fewer of them to fill your machine. That said, many coffee shops weigh their beans, which means a brewed cup of dark roast might contain slightly more caffeine than a light roast. Cornelis adds, if you're concerned about caffeine, it's more important to pay attention to the type of bean. Robusta beans, for example, contain twice as much caffeine as Arabica ones. and how the coffee is made using more water dilutes the caffeine more. If you're trying to keep acidity down, you'll want to look for a darker roast, which is less acidic than a lighter roast of the same bean type. And myth number five, this is my favorite coffee myth. The myth is coffee is bad for you. So if that means it's good for me and I can just drink as much as I want, right? Well, research shows that drinking a moderate amount of coffee, about 2 to 5 cups a day, good God, I don't think I could drink 5 cups of coffee a day, reduces the risk of diseases such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, Parkinson's disease, liver cancer, and depression. As Harvard's Dr. Hugh, says Harvard's Dr. Hugh, it can even lower your risk of death from any cause. Okay, that's a wild statement, isn't it? The evidence is quite strong that regular coffee consumption is more helpful than harmful, Dr. Hugh says. Why? Coffee is a good source of antioxidant and anti-inflammatory phytochemicals. I was not ready for that sentence then. That can improve disease risk factors like insulin resistance, says Stuart. Just try to stick 400 megagram of caffeine a day, 200, whatever the measurement is, or less during pregnancy, so your sleep won't be disrupted. And go easy on carbohydrates, heavy sweetened coffee drinks like vanilla or oat milk lattes, which are really caffeinated desserts in disguise. Yeah, okay. So coffee, black, no sugar. Sounds good to me. I have got open Reader's Digest Australia, and we're going to be going through 22 surprising movie trivia facts that you won't believe are true. Some of these I did believe were true, and some of them I didn't know existed. So, yeah, let's see. So, first one, the code in the Matrix comes from sushi recipes. Those green symbols trailing down the Matrix aren't complicated algorithms. A production designer scanned symbols from his wife's sushi cookbooks and manipulated them to create the iconic code. Did not know that. I think I've read other things about that in the past, so which one's true is I guess we'll probably never know, really. Even in interviews, you don't always know if you're being told the truth, do you? But that sounds about right. Director James Cameron drew the sketch in Titanic. Unlike Jack's French girls, Kate Winslet wore a bathing suit while Cameron sketched the picture. One famous Pulp Fiction scene was filmed backwards. When Uma Thurman's character is having an overdose, it looks like John Travolta sticks a needle into her to revive her, but actually Travolta pulled the needle out, and the film was run backwards to reverse the action. I suppose the reason for doing that, I was musing on this one, and I think the answer to that is probably because he either wasn't comfortable putting the needle in, or for health and safety reasons, they didn't want him putting a needle in live on camera in case he did something wrong. So a medical professional, I would have thought, probably put the needle in, and then they filmed him pulling the needle out. Which makes sense. I mean, I would have just assumed he'd use a fake syringe, but hey. The stray cat in Godfather. No, the cat in The Godfather was a stray. I gave that one away then, didn't I? Director Francis Ford Coppola found the cat in the studio and handed it to Marlon Brando. Before the shot, the cat loved the actor so much that it stayed in his lap and purred so loudly that the crew was afraid the noise would drown out the dialogue. Just like my washing machine right now, it is the loudest I've heard it go. Tell me if you can hear that. There you go. I went quiet for a bit while I had a drink just so you could have a listen. Hello at thatsafreebie.com. Let me know if you can hear the washing machine. Sean Connery wore a toupee in every James Bond movie. If you think the dreamy 007 seemed too good to be true, you're right. Sean Connery started balding at age 17. Same as me. Actually, I was age 16, so meh. I got that on you. I don't think that's something to brag about, is it really? You won't believe these mine. No, I've done it. I keep reading the links. So there are links at the end of each of these, and they are in red. But I can't tell if they look black to me. I'll be blending with the black. I can't tell that they're red until I start reading them, and I realise that they're actually links to other articles. There's a Starbucks cup in every Fight Club scene. Every scene? Really? There's a Starbucks cup in every Fight Club scene. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Director David Fincher thought the Starbucks shops popping up on every block in LA in the late 90s was too much of a good thing, so he poked fun at the coffee chain in Fight Club. He's claimed to have sneaked a Starbucks coffee cup into every shot with permission from the chain. With one exception, Starbucks didn't want its shop destroyed on film, so that scene uses the made-up Gratifico coffee instead. Velociraptor noises in Jurassic Park are tortoises mating. That's right. Some of the noises made by velociraptors were actually provided by tortoises in the throes of ecstasy. At least that's what the sound designer used when the raptors were communicating. Wow. Okay. Other scenes of the species used horse breathing and goose hisses. Okay. E.T. and Poltergeist started from the same script. Wow. Steven Spielberg was going to produce filmmaker John Sayles' Night Skies script about a rural family invaded by aliens that would kill with a touch of the finger. It decided to go more family-friendly route with the story by creating E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Sayles wouldn't rewrite the script, but Spielberg kept the idea for Poltergeist. Wow! Michael Myers' mask in Halloween is William Shatner's face. I'm assuming they don't mean his actual face. I'm assuming they mean modelled on his face. Or, specifically, his Star Trek character, Captain Kirk. There wasn't money in 1978 horror films budget to create a custom mask, so the art director bought a clown and a Captain Kirk mask. The crew spray-painted it white and adjusted the eyes and hair to create a terrifying mask. Okay, that makes sense. So not modelled on William Shatner's face, but just completely butchered mask. And now we hit the problem of having no internet. I can't move on to the next page because my internet now is really slow. There we go. Toy Story's Woody was originally a ventriloquist dummy. Wow. Even in later versions, he was written as a sarcastic bully trying to rally the other toys against Buzz. Luckily, the studio decided to transform him into a more lovable character. Yep, that does make a lot more sense, doesn't it? Wow, this next one. O.J. Simpson was considered for the lead in The Terminator. Director James Cameron rejected the choice because he didn't think the likable, goofy, kind of innocent guy could pull off a cyborg assassin. I have no further comments. The voice of Monster Inc.'s Boo was an actual toddler. At 2.5, Mary Gibbs had trouble sitting still through the scenes, so the crew would follow her around with a microphone. They'd tickle her or take candy away from her to make her laugh or cry. So the emotions are real as they sound. I do actually think I'd heard that one before. Washing machine's going crazy now. If you can't hear that, I'm impressed. R2-D2 and C-3PO appear in Indiana Jones. Look closely at the scenery in Raiders of the Lost Ark. You'll notice hieroglyphics with the robot's likeness in two scenes. Check it. Oh, I did it again. I nearly read the next link. Gone with the Wind's fire scene is old sets being burned. The filmmakers had to get rid of the old sets to make room for the new movie scenery. So, burning them and filming it as Atlanta going down in flames accomplished both. The filmmakers are lucky it worked. They shot the blaze even before the movie's cast was confirmed. Wow. Hang on, how could they? Oh, they weren't old sets from that movie. They were just old sets in general. I just realized. I was going to say, how could they have burnt the sets down if you hadn't cast the movie yet? Jaws' most famous line was ad-libbed. I've read this one before. First of all, the line was, "You're going to need a bigger boat," not "We're going to need a bigger boat." It's often misquoted. The line wasn't in the original script, but was an inside joke among the Jaws crew, teasing the stingy producers for picking a support boat that was too small to hold the equipment. Actor Roy Scheider ad-libbed the line and throughout filming, but the one kept in the final cut became the most famous one. One of the most famous remembered movie quotes of all time. Wow, a Harry Potter stunt double was paralyzed on the job. David Holmes did the stunt doubles for Daniel Radcliffe in every Harry Potter movie, but an accident during a flying broomstick scene in the last movie left him paralyzed from the neck down. Radcliffe organized a celebrity charity auction to pay his medical bills, and Holmes now runs a production company with two other quadriplegic friends. Wow. Toto was paid more than the Munchkins in The Wizard of Oz. Wow. The Munchkin actors received $50 a week, which was a good wage at the time, apparently, while the dog earned $125 a week. Good grief. The Ten Commandments set was buried underground for decades. Cecil B. DeMille, director of the 1923 film The Ten Commandments, thought the movie set, including 21 Sphinx replicas, was too valuable to let the filmmakers get their hands on it. He figured it was cheaper to bury the set than to move it, and the artifact remained underground near the California coast for 94 years before archaeologists found a 300-pound head in 2017. Psycho was the first movie to show a toilet flushing. At the time, the Motion Picture Production Code banned flushing toilets because it was considered filthy. Psycho was a key to putting the censoring code to an end. Leonardo DiCaprio really cut his hand during Django Unchained. During one of Leonardo DiCaprio's big scenes, his racist rant is highlighted when he slams down on a table and cuts his hand on a glass. That might look like special effects, but it wasn't in the script. The actor really did hurt his hand without stopping the scene, and the blood you see is real. Wow. Dracula was filmed in English by day and Spanish by night. When the 1931 movie Dracula was being shot, it was common for foreign language films to take over the set at night and shoot their own versions instead of dubbing them over later. The Spanish language version, which used the same script and set, wrapped up in about half the time and earned way better reviews than its English language counterpart. Jimmy Stewart did not want to do It's a Wonderful Life. The lead actor had returned from spending 15 months in World War II combat as a pilot and was considered quitting acting. He initially said a film about suicide was the last thing the country and he, as someone who was dealing with PTSD, needed, but he reluctantly agreed. It's a Wonderful Life ended up relaunching his acting career. Well, there you have it. I know you've all been waiting for this. The big question of the week, did I go to the gym? The answer to that question is yes, I did. I went on Wednesday of last week after recording. I recorded on Monday, so I went on the Monday. I then went on Wednesday. I absolutely killed my legs. They were hurting like crazy, so I think I overdid it. I've since got a bit of advice on what best to do. And I went again this morning before recording this. So that's three times up to now. So the answer is to, did I go to the gym? Is yes. Yes, I did. Time for this week's pick of the week. The pick of the week this week is actually a website. And the address is manifold.markets. That's manifold marketes. Now, I will obviously, as always, add a link to that in the show notes for you, because it's quite hard to tell what I'm saying sometimes. So I will, I'll link to that for you. It's basically, it's a website where you place bets using fake money. Although real money can be involved, but I've not had to do that up to now. You place bets using fake money. And the idea is that you're betting on stuff going on around the world. It's more designed to be fun than an actual you're making money. In fact, I don't even think there is a way you can make money from what I can see. So you use this fake money. I can't remember what they call it, actually. It's essentially, I think of it as Monopoly money. It's probably, that's how I think of it. It's an M with a slash. It's like probably like manifold dollars or something like that. And you just place bets on things that are going on in the world. So, for example, I've got a few of them up here. So, will June Part 2 gross more than 40 million domestic during its second weekend, March 8th to 10th? And you bet whether you think it will or you won't. And then you can... but you whatever you bet, obviously, you make money on it just like you do with any other betting. As in, when I say money, you make fake money on it. But they've got all kinds of categories. So you've got like entertainment and pop culture, politics, culture, technology, the upcoming president election, movies, AI, world, sports, crypto, I'm going for everything here, Bitcoin. There's even a section on the Oscars, science questions. If I head to science, will the average global temperature in 2024 exceed that of 2023? Greatest mathematician of all time. If I click on that, you get to choose between, but there's about eight on there, and you can bet on who you think is the greatest. Now, obviously, that's an opinion thing, I suppose, really. But if you bet the same as everybody else, you make your fake money. And you can also create your own questions as well. Now, it does cost to create your questions. So, again, you pay with your fake money to create the questions. And I suppose if you play the game right, I realize it's not a game, but if you do it correctly, you will be able to make enough money that you, again, fake money, that you'll never need to buy any of the fake money, because that is how they make money. You can buy fake money from them to use within the system. I think it's quite a good idea, actually. It's a bit of fun. You're not hurting anyone. I don't intend on ever spending any money on it. But my goal is to try and just go on there and essentially make a few bets and I suppose make as much fake money as I can. There may be a way in the future, I suppose, that you can withdraw that and somehow make real money. I mean, you might be able to do that now. I'm not going to lie, the whole system is a little bit confusing when you go on there. I've noticed there's more info in the app, but... there's things on there that, like, I've made bets on some of the things that have closed, and I can't tell how you check to see what you won and what you didn't win and things like that. So it is very new to me. I only found this out like a day or two ago. So it's still new to me as well. But I thought I'd point it out to everyone else because it is quite new from what I can gather. So it's good to jump on these things when they're new, because by the time... by the time this comes out, it might not be available anymore. That's always possible. I have done pick of the weeks before now that have disappeared before the episodes come out, and I've had to go in and change it because otherwise it would have made no sense whatsoever. Manifold.markets. Take a look, see what you think. Let me know. I am going to end the show today with a question, not a joke, because I'm moving back to questions for a little bit. Why not? So this week's question is, what weighs more, a gallon of water or a gallon of butane? And the answer is water, because butane is a lighter fluid.